Be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. In order to rightly understand and apply these words, I found it necessary to remove myself from my life situation, as Dr. Thistleton suggested is at times necessary. This was required lest I interpret my assignment to this day and this passage as a divine revelation concerning my particular work as instructor of summer Greek. The only other alternative I could think of was to consider my chapel assignment the result of my students' efforts, a possibility which appears more and more likely each day. An important question comes to mind in reading this verse. Why is compassion on our part so important? In his book, God, Power, and Evil, A Process Theodicy, David Ray Griffin discusses Martin Luther's understanding of the essence of God, as Luther conveys it in On the Bondage of the Will. Griffin writes, "Luther's doctrine of the two wills of God, the revealed and the hidden, not only separates God's loving mercy from God's power, but makes the latter more ultimate. Accordingly, Luther is in effect saying that the essence of deity is power, coercive, deterministic, monopolistic power." Griffin then adds, "The Christian idea that God is merciful love is simply added on as a secondary characteristic." That this process theologian has misrepresented Luther is obvious if we consider the purpose of Luther's book. First, to show that man has no free will in matters pertaining to God, but only God has free will. And secondly, and ultimately, to show that it is solely by God's mercy that salvation has come to man. Contrary to Griffin's final conclusion at the end of his book, we must assert that God is all-powerful. Neither we nor Luther would wish to deny that. Indeed, no one who lives, or rather who walks on earth's road toward death, can deny it. Man is unable to stop, or even slow to any great extent, the death march. God controls it, as he controls all things to his glory. Even the laws of nature are not nature's laws, but they are simply God's will or his power applied to the creature, as Pieper states. Therefore, when we fall from the roof or twist our ankle as our foot returns to the ground, we must consider the power of God no less than when he tears the earth by earthquakes or destroys cities by volcanic fire. Who controls the hot sun? And who is behind the fierce tornadoes? Who created heaven and earth? It is our God, who is a consuming fire. Thus, despite our strength over against one another, the strength of nation against nation, before God we are all powerless. As Luther says, power belongs to God's nature. Power does belong to God's nature, but it is not his essence with love as a secondary characteristic, as Griffin interprets Luther. That God is essentially power is the position of Calvin and his followers. For Luther, the essence of God is love. This conclusion is drawn from the unique place Scripture gives to God's goodness in Christ, the place given his love and compassion. This is special revelation. For as Luther says, God hides his eternal goodness and mercy under eternal wrath. Therefore, to believe God is merciful is the highest degree of faith. Beloved, believe it. For this is the message of today's lesson. We have a compassionate Father. God is not deceiving us. He's not putting on a compassionate front in Scripture which in the end will somehow be subordinated to his power in sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross. God has demonstrated to the world his true essence, his compassion, and his love. He saw man's condition, and he gave his only Son to change it. The Son of God brought us from death to life by his death and resurrection. God is compassionate toward you, the sinner. This gives us the reason why it is of the utmost importance that we too be compassionate. We do not make known the true essence of God by a demonstration of power, or by the fury of righteous anger, or even by a performance of outward holiness. But we proclaim his true essence when we show compassion. We thereby prove to the world below and heaven above that we are children of the true God. Therefore, although this passage may convict us of our sins as we fail to show compassion to those in need, this is not its primary purpose. Rather, it is for our comfort. Compare these words of Jesus to Luther's comment concerning the fifth petition. He writes in his large catechism, "But there is here attached a necessary, yet consolatory addition, as we forgive. For as much as baptism and the Lord's Supper, appointed as external signs, effect, so much also this sign can effect to confirm our consciences and cause them to rejoice. And it is especially for this purpose that we might use and practice it every hour, as a thing that we have with us at all times." End quote. A similar sign is given us in the words, "Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate." As we show compassion to one another, and particularly to our enemies or those who owe us, we are again assured that God has shown us mercy and granted us forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Therefore, Jesus includes in verse 37 the best example of compassion: "Forgive, and you will be forgiven." The command to be compassionate is a comfort for another reason. It indicates that we are the fruit of Jesus' work. A farmer would never say to an orange tree, "Bear figs," nor could he expect it to bear such fruit. Yet Jesus says to us, "Be compassionate," not to show us our sin, but because we are his own, because we have already been shown compassion, and we have already been made his. Thus he says to us who are born of the seed of the compassionate one, "Let compassion be your fruit," which is the very thing we are created anew to do. Thus Jesus gives us a necessary, yet an attainable, and in fact an attained goal. Indeed, he himself works it in us. Because compassion is not just another attribute of God, but is at the very heart of his being, compassion is a necessary element in us who are sons of the compassionate one. And this has its purpose. We are to be compassionate in order that others might come to know the true essence of God, as well as his great redeeming work in the world that demonstrates this, the cross of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we do not judge or condemn. We forgive and give. We as pastors, however, do more. We teach only what Jesus has revealed in his word. If we go beyond that, we are leading others into the pit. If we proclaim a gospel other than that revealed in the scriptures, we are like the man who tried to remove a splinter while he himself had a log in his eye. Such a man is unable to show compassion. Therefore, hold fast to the word of truth. for it is the means by which you will be compassionate, in which case you will be like your teacher. Amen.